Well, Shabbat Shalom on another Sabbath of the Lord. Shabbat Shalom to everyone out there in cyberspace. Yes. Okay. We are not going to blow the trumpet, right? Okay. That was good. Hey, what do you want? What do you want for nothing? Okay, anyway. We are one of Messiah congregation. Kahal Chabe Mashiach, a little piece of the Israel of God, and it's the Sabbath. We're going to ask God to bless and anoint this study today. Heavenly Father, the King of the universe, we come before you, living God. First, we ask you to cover us with your holy blood of any sin, any blemish, anything that would separate us from you, Father. Knowing that's the most important thing, to be cleansed so we can make it to be with you throughout eternity. Bless and anoint this day, Father. I pray you'll send down healing upon everyone here in our bodies. Heal every disease or sickness or anything that's wrong with us, Father. You see us. I pray you'll touch us. I pray you'll spiritually help us, living God, with wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and the fear of God. May God bless you today on the Sabbath, and may God always be with you and lead, guide, and direct you in everything you do, say, and act. And may God always bring us back together to worship you in spirit and truth, Father, because you are a spirit, and you said you must be worshiped in spirit and truth. Here we are, Father, in your Holy Spirit today, in Yeshua's name. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Hallelujah. Well, here we are one more time in the place called Holland Vault, Tennessee. Semi-German accent I use. Maple Street. There it is. And there's my phone numbers, which we haven't received any lately. Any phone calls about the congregation. And there's the email. I don't receive any of that. People are always trying to get me to come to their church. And I write them back saying, well, come to visit us and learn about the things that are missing. Today is February the 16th, 2019, in the 21st century. And I was watching a video yesterday about going to Mars. And they're talking about, they kept flashing back from 2016 to 2033 or 37, you know, like making to see what would possibly happen. Of course, no one knows what's going to happen at that time. But with it, my wife and I were thinking, if the Lord doesn't come back by 2050, then our little philosophy is wrong about the Jubilee kind of thing. That's relating it to the Gregorian calendar. So it has to be before that. With the building of the temple and everything. But I don't know how going to the Mars fits into the picture. Anyway, this February, and all the little emperors there changed the amount of days. See that went from 28 days to 23 days, 24 days, 28 days. I know, they made it shorter. Julius, these other guys had it even shorter. Anyway, one thing that never changes, we're in God's 12th month, it's called Adar, the 10th day. The 10th day today. And there's a little word Adar right there in Hebrew, Adar. It means to be glorious, to make honorable. It also has a connotation of a cloak or a mantle, something hidden, you know. And just like the word Adar, when you take the three letters, the Aleph, the Dalet, and the Resh, we have the Aleph, which is silent in the Hebrew alphabet without the vowels. And we have the Dar, which means to dwell. So something invisible or something silent wants to dwell with us. And I think, believe it's God. And of course, it's only found in the book of, the word Adar is only found in the book of Esther. But we have in Ezra chapter 6, verse 15, that we see that in the month of Adar, it has the word Adar there also, of course. It says that it was the dedication of the house, verse 17, and that's obviously the second important Hanukkah in the Bible, because the first one was when Solomon did it. And it sort of sounds right, because John was, John in the Gospel of John, Yeshua went to the temple that Ezra and Nehemiah, I mean, you know, they all rebuilt, Zerubbabel and, you know, And there it is right there, winter. And it wasn't winter, which is Adar. So it sort of all goes together. Because he's doing this feast of dedication in winter. And over here, it is definitely winter because it's the month of Adar. You see that? So that's what I got that from. And the word Adar is only found in the book of Esther and Ezra, like we just read. I got to put Ezra right there. Anyway, my ministry is a teaching ministry. I like to always bring up things like this, topics and subjects maybe you're not familiar with in other congregations. They usually pick one word and talk for the rest of the 25 minutes on with no scriptures. And they give a pep talk or I don't know what they do. Yeah, you got a house. God's got a house for you. God's got a car for you. And God's got a new husband or a new wife for you. Watch out. I seen churches with signs, help with divorce. And I thought, man, that's weird. Wow, divorce care. It's ridiculous in a church. But anyway, my teachings, the service is still running over there, artificial intelligence. It's still happening. So you can read them. The studies, you could listen to them, you could see them, or you could upload them to your iPads or MP3 players, or your jam boxes, yeah. Anyway, we're streaming right now on Real Player. It's just amazing that I use that old technology, and it still works great, doesn't it? It's still working, you know? And, what? Oh. But anyway, we haven't got any schedules to go any places for the Hebrew roots of our faith. Purim is coming. Of course, it's going to be this coming Wednesday and Thursday. That's the 14th and 15th of Adar, or the 20th and the 21st of February. So Adar is going to be right in the middle of the week there. So we might celebrate, too, if we happen to be around. I don't know where we're going to be on those days. These days should be remembered. This is right from the scriptures, that these days should be remembered, and kept throughout every generation, every family, every province, every city, and that these days of Purim should not fail from among the Jews, nor the memorial of them perish from their seed. That's us. So we will remember. Amen. Last week was an interesting week. We discovered Samuel, was a Levite, and other people. We found out music and singing was big in the scriptures. You know, we started reading the Chronicles, which we don't usually do, and we started seeing all these people. But Psalms takes us right to the point. It says, sing unto God, sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. And I love that. Everyone's always trying to quiet me down, but I want to play with a loud noise. I found this man, he was the master of song, it says. Kenaiah, who's the chief of the Levites, was for song. He instructed in his singing about the song because he was skillful. And that's interesting the way it's worded. So here we have a Kenaiah, he's the master of song, a Levite. And that was interesting to read. Then we have, of course, 2 Chronicles 20, the Levites. I never really thought about it. Probably read it a million times. The Levites, the children of the Kohathites, stood up to praise Jehovah, the God of Israel, with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in Yehovah, your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. I bet he really believed that because it helped him out. And when Jehoshaphat had consulted with the people, first thing he did was he went and appointed the singers unto Yehovah that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army. So here we have, they go out before the army. The army's over there coming. They're going praising the Lord for his beauty, you know, dun, 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 for his mercy endures forever. They're supposed to say, praise Yah, for his mercy endures forever. The Levites, which were singers, and some of them were Asaph, Heman, and Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps. So that's what they did. That's what these three men, these guys did, and their offspring. And then in other chapters, it had the singers Heman, Asaph, and Ethan were appointed to sound with cymbals of brass. And of course, it went on and on last week, and it was very exciting to me to read about all the singing and all the instruments. And I looked it up this week. There's hundreds of over 100 something verses with horns, and there's, you know, the flutes and the sackbut and the psaltery and the dulcimer and all that stuff, and there's the 10-stringed instrument that we don't never seen. Yeah. Anyway, but moving right along to today's topic, the book of Esther. Hadassah, her name is, which means a myrtle tree, myrtle. Hadassah. And we have a perm. This is just a short review today. It's not going to be a long study. Last week was long, but, you know, I go have long studies and short studies and, you know. Anyway, so we have a feast of the real Jews coming. And we're real Jews, so we're going to participate. And this feast is called a Mishte. And it means, by implication, we'll be drinking and eating and a banquet, you know, to feast, a get together. And if we're around, we should get together and, you know, have a little feast or go somewhere and feast and tell people it's Purim, you know, which is really good. And I found the word Purim, two different ways spelled. One with the hot Purim and one with Purim. There it is right there. And Purim or Purim means to cast lots. A feast among the Jews to celebrate their deliverance from Haman. Haman wanted to genocide the Jews, just like Hitler, you know. And Haman's destruction through Queen Esther and Mordecai's heroic actions, which God directed, of course. And God is in the background. You could see him directing everything, even though those words don't show up. So we got this word Adar, which means to expand, that is to be great, figuratively magnificent, to become glorious, honorable, a cloak, a mantle, you know. And there it is right there. And there we have Hadassah, he, Esther, that is Esther. In Hebrew, the word Esther means star, but the root of the word Esther is satar, which means hidden. Did you catch that? The actual word God and Lord is hidden in the book of Esther. Doesn't ever mention the word God or Lord or nothing. But obviously Esther fasted to God, right? She didn't fast to herself. Which I never understood why that God doesn't, his name isn't there, or, you know, it's curious. Maybe because Ahasuerus was running the show or something. I don't know. Or who knows? Maybe God didn't want to be associated with, but he was directing the victory, of course. But what I see is the death, resurrection, and deliverance and salvation there. And here's my thoughts for you to consider, which I've done this for a number of years. So I'm starting with the 13th day of the first month. The first month is called Ha'aviv, or Nisan, just before Passover, right? So it says, Esther 3:12 says, then was the king's scribe called on the 13th day of the first month, right? And there was written according to all that Haman had commanded unto the king's lieutenants and the governors that were over every province, and to the rulers of every people of every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, in the name of the king Ahasuerus was it written, and sealed with the king's ring. And this guy Haman went out of his way to annihilate the Jews, you know. He wants to genocide them. Esther 4:16 says, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye with me, and neither eat or drink 3 days and three nights. So when I read that, my mind immediately sounds like the book of Jonah, you know, and the prophecy of Messiah. In the book of Jonah, we have, and now Jonah had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And that's what that reminds me of. And when you go to the book of Matthew, we have For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Messiah went down and conquered death, hell, and the grave. He went and preached to the spirits in prison. Yes. He didn't preach about repenting. He preached about letting them know why they're there. And I was thinking, we were thinking about that today driving here, because my wife and I, we have a little over an hour to get here driving, and we were listening to all the prophets. And, you know, Zephaniah goes into detail about God is very angry against those that didn't seek the Lord or didn't even inquire about him or didn't, you know, they wouldn't even want to know the Lord or even, you know, that's not for me kind of thing. And so back to the book of Esther, it says, and it came to pass on the third day. So we have from the 13th to the 16th that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house over against the gate of the house. He's just a royal kind of guy. Sounds like Messiah's resurrection on the third day. And that's about 15 times in scriptures that he rose the third day. But the third day was the first day of the week. Make sure you remember that. Here's one of them right here. In Corinthians, it says, and that Messiah was buried and that he rose the third day according to the scriptures. And the scriptures are, obviously, Jonah, and I'm thinking Esther too. So that's obviously going to be the 16th day of Ha'aviv or Nisan, right? Esther chapter 5, verse 8 says, if I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I should prepare for them. I will do tomorrow as the king has said. So from we're on the 16th, right? So the do tomorrow from the 16th would make it the 17th, right? Of Ha'aviv. So we'll read this right here. So the king and Haman came to the banquet with Esther, the queen, and the king said unto Esther on the second day at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition, Queen Esther? And it shall be granted thee, and what is thy request? It shall be performed even to the half of this kingdom. He's definitely not Jewish. I would never give away half of my kingdom. It says, for Esther the queen answered and said, if I have found favor in thy sight, if I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition and my people at my request. We are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. But if we had been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail his king's damage. The king's damage. Then the king Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther, Hadassah, Esther, the queen, who is he? And where is he that does perform, that presume in his heart to do so? And Esther said, the adversary. So you're supposed to name them, everybody. The adversary and enemy is that wicked Haman. Notice how she nailed it. Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. And the king arose from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went into his palace garden. He's probably getting more and more mad. And Haman stood up to make request for his life to Queen Esther, for he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. And the king returned out of his palace garden into the place of the banquet of wine. And Haman was, fallen upon the bed whereon Esther was. Oh, no. He's already upset and uptight. Then the king said, will he force the queen also before me in the house? As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. He's finished. And Harbona, one of the chamberlains, said before the king, behold, also the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman had made for Mordecai, who had spoken good for the king, standing in the house of Haman. Then the king said, hang him thereon. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. The people of God delivered, Yeshua rose on the third day, the 17th of Aviv, first fruits. Messiah delivered us, and he is our Savior forever. Amen. And that's what that's all about there, to me, in Esther, because there's that hidden story about the 13th, the 16th, and the 17th, which is the same thing as the resurrection, you know, Messiah. So that's a story that I hope you have spiritual eyes to see it. Always remember each other about the ways of God. Always remind each other about the ways of God, lest we forget about the God of Israel. And that's really important, to always talk to each other and encourage each other in the Lord and always strengthen each other. So we have to remember the God of Israel is hidden in the world. You know, you can't really, I mean, no, a lot of people, where is he? Once you leave the building here, the God of Israel's land is given away. They've given away so much of the land of Israel. The God of Israel's true people are hidden. Here we are. I mean, you know, it's not the ones in Israel. The God of Israel's true Messiah, the Word of God, are hidden. Most people don't even acknowledge him. The God of Israel's justice and judgment are hidden. Now they got their own legal system, and the righteousness system is over. The God of Israel's Torah, laws, commandments, that's deleted. The God of Israel's feasts, we all know those are deleted in the world. Most people never even heard of them. The God of Israel's Sabbath is obviously deleted. There's only a few of us here today. Everyone's driving around. The God of Israel's food laws are definitely forgotten, right? The God of Israel's calendar is no such thing. I never even thought of that. Just think, in most Bibles that are printed nowadays after the Gutenberg press was created, from the Hebrew Tanakh in English, the word Yah is only one time in Psalm 68:4, over 50 times missing. The word Jehovah is only 7 times, over 6,500 times missing. All the other many times in Hebrew word Yah and Jehovah are replaced by the words capital L, capital O, capital R, and capital D, or capital G, capital O, or capital D. And somebody still wants to delete God's name. In most Bibles, Yah and Jehovah are missing in both the Greek and the English, in the Gospels and letters, and so much more. So now, would you think there was a plot? Something's wrong. So there's even something wrong with most of the Bibles that are printed. Even our Bible doesn't have this. You know, somebody changed everything. A verse comes to my mind when I think about this. In the book of Jeremiah, it says, some people think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell of you, man, to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. And that's what happens, that people forget the God of Israel, and they forget the real God who created the heavens and the earth and the oceans that God called the seas. And most people, there is no God, you know, especially in all the teaching of, you know, academia and schooling, there's no God, because you can't even really say that anymore, because nothing created everything. Nothing blew up at one point 50 billion gazillion years ago. I guess, so I could put any number on that too. That's what they do. 50 billion gazillion shmazulin gazgukun years ago. You know, that's how foolish it sounds to me. Anyway. We have to always remember, be aware of the invisible God that's around us, everywhere we go, and everybody we're with, and everyone we're speaking to. Colossians, in the letter to the Colossians, Paul makes it very clear. He goes, the Father had delivered us from the power of darkness. Amen. And the Father had translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And that's the word, Yeshua. In whom we have redemption through the Messiah's blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And Yeshua is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him, Yeshua, the Word of God, was all things created, that are in heaven and that are on earth. And there's things that are visible and there's things that are invisible. whether there's thrones visibly or invisibly, there's dominions and powers behind the scenes in the invisibility you can't see. There's principalities, powers, all things were created by him, Yeshua, the Word, and they were made by him and for him. And Yeshua, the Word, is before all things, and by him, Yeshua, all things consist. Amen. So, of course, that's what we believe, and of course in the universities, they don't believe any of this, and they're teaching masses of people, masses of students, and you know, people just, I don't even know what, they don't even believe in anything anymore. They just, whatever. And Yeshua is the head of the body, and we're in the body, the ecclesia, the set apart ones, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. He is the first one to be raised with an incorruptible body, that in all things Yeshua, the Word, might have the preeminence. Of course he does. For it pleased the Father that in the Word, his Word, Yeshua, should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of Yeshua's cross, that's the Word's cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, Yeshua, the Word, I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven. And Paul writes in such an articulate way, which I really love the way he writes. He writes to the Hebrews and he says, by faith Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, Pharaoh, for Moses endured as seeing God who is invisible. And that's the way we have to live our lives. We have to endure as seeing him that's invisible, that we know there's a God, a Father that helps us. We just call upon him. We're his children. And Job makes it really clear. Job says, lo, he, meaning God, goes by me, and I see him not. God passes on also, and I perceive him not. Yeah, he could be walking right there, right now, right here. Praise the Lord. Makes you sit up, don't it? You never know where he's at. And a brother John makes it always clear that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The Word is God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. The same thing Paul said. John saying the same thing. Without him, the Word was not anything made that was made. In him, the Word was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shined in the darkness, right in the beginning of Genesis, and the darkness comprehended it not. God divided the light from the darkness. Here I am. And he, the Word, was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the word of God, the world didn't know it, didn't know him. They didn't recognize him as the Messiah. Just think, he was in the world and made the world, and the world didn't even know him or give him anything. And we know the Word of God was made flesh. It's the only way God could die for the sins of the world. And he dwelt among the people at that time. And he's with us today. And John says, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Paul tells Timothy, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, priest unto the nations, the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. There it is in the whole nutshell, right there. So, there's things we have to always constantly remind ourselves of, and one thing we definitely need to remind ourselves of is our enemies, you know. So I detect an evil root, an evil seed, an evil trail from Haman back to, through time, to Agag, the king of the Amalekites, and Amalek, and Esau, to Satan. Yeah. We see that there's a verse in Esther chapter 9, verse 10. It says that sent the 10 sons of Haman. Haman was the son of Hammedatha, the enemy of the Jews. They slew them, but on the spoil they laid not their hand. So they were all hanged, you know. But there's this guy, Hammedatha. the Agagite, the father of Haman. Isn't that weird? So that's who Haman was. And we see the Agagite, the descendant of Agag, and the king of the Amalekites, the king of Amalek. And Amalek traces back to Esau, and the root of really goes back to Satan. If you keep wanting to go back and further, you know, you can go way back. And now, just for a little taste, I thought for the people that never heard this before, a little now from the Judaism websites to show you what they do. From many Judaism, I want to know, tell me later on what you think of this below. We also, this is what Judaism says on Purim. We are commanded to eat, drink, and be merry according to the Talmud. A person is required to drink until he cannot tell the difference between cursed be Haman and blessed be Mordecai. Supposed to get so smashed that you can't even... It says, though the opinions differ as to exactly how much that is, a person certainly should not become so drunk that he might violate other commandments or get seriously ill. I know. This is what they say on their website. This is from their websites. I didn't make this up. In addition, recovering alcoholics or others who might suffer serious harm from alcohol are exempt from this obligation. It's an obligation to get smashed. In addition, we are commanded to send out gifts of food or drink and to make gifts to charity. The sending of gifts of food and drink is referred to as shalach manos, sending out portions. Among the Ashkenazi Jews, a common treat at the time of the year is Hashmatash, I don't know how to say that, but it's Haman's pocket. Hashmatashkin. Hamentashkin. These triangular fruit-filled cookies are supposed to represent Haman's three-cornered hat. Why would you want to do that? That's how, but see how they make a game out of everything? And it's customary to hold carnival-like celebrations on Purim, to perform plays and parodies, and to hold beauty contests. I have heard that unusual prohibitions against cross-dressing are lifted during the holidays. That means you could erase the Torah on the holidays. Americans sometimes refer to Purim as the Jewish Mardi Gras. Purim is not subject to Sabbath-like restrictions on word that some other holidays are. However, some sources indicate that we should not go about our ordinary business on Purim of respect for the holiday. Where does it say that in the word? Here exactly, and I have the Talmud, so I could tell you what it says. In the Talmud, Megillah 7b, Rabbah, it says, it is the duty of a man to mellow himself with wine on Purim, until he cannot tell the difference between cursed be Haman and blessed be Mordecai. It actually says that in the Talmud. So I remember being on Pow Talk on Purim, and I remember going in the Jewish rooms. People would just act, I drank so much. They were acting like they're so drunk, and they were proud of it. There are fancy dress parties, including cross-dressing, and mockery of those who at other times are much respected. Well, the Bible tells us the woman shall not wear that which pertains to a man, neither shall a man put on woman's garments. A man is not supposed to put on woman's garments, for all that do this are an abomination to Yehovah, thy God. They don't care. They just do anything. Anyway, this is, like I said, this is not a long study. In closing, I know, it's pretty amazing. You didn't believe me, huh? Look at that. In closing, Apostle Paul tells Timothy, he says, unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be glory, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And don't be tricked, as we found out some people have been tricked recently. Remember the name of Yeshua the Messiah of Nazareth, because be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, And to everyone today in 2017, well, actually 2019 now, yeah, if we change that, 2019, that by the name of Yeshua, the Messiah of Nazareth, whom they crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. And this is the stone. He is the stone which has set at naught of you builders, you rulers. And he's become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. Just think of that. There's salvation in no other God, no matter if there's hundreds of other gods. But there's none other name except the name Yeshua the Messiah of Nazareth under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You can't believe in anything else. Not might or could be or should be or you must. So Yeshua, the Word, the Son, is your only hope of salvation. And I thank God for this. This is just a little review of Purim on our Sabbath today, Shabbat Shalom. And so there's a lot of things to think about. Maybe I went a little bit too fast, but think about, you know, you always have to think about your enemies. Think about all the things that are forgotten of God and try to bring them across and on social media and websites or whatever you do or whoever you speak to. You can always tell people, hey, did you know God has his own calendar? They'll go, what are you talking about? So yeah, I'm in the 12th, we're the 12th month right now, Adar. Really? Where does it say that? And then you can show them the verses, you know. You can always look them up on your phone or your computer. But that's my short study for today, and I know it's a quick one, but for most people here, you probably haven't heard those things about the Talmud and what they do in Judaism, right? Did you ever hear that before? They dress up like Halloween, yeah. Yeah, we actually been to synagogues on Purim, and all I remember is they go, every time they're named Haman, they go, boo! but it's ridiculous. But anyway, I want to say Shabbat Shalom, and this is a short study today as compared to last week's study that was long. So I want to thank you for being here today, and you can go over this later yourself again if I went too fast. May God bless the food today and the singing we do to you, Father. May God bless the rest of our Shabbat and the rest of our Sabbath. And may God always comfort you and be with you and show you where to be and to whom to be with and where to go in your life. In Yeshua's name, amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Let me stop this. And let me get off the mic here. First thing I'll stop is the video. Shabbat Shalom. Okay, and that's over. And then I'll stop the audio, which is right here. Shabbat Shalom.